This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Phillies over the Twins, 3-2. Twins and Rays from Fort Myers tomorrow at high noon here on News Talk 830-WCCO. But I'm pleased to welcome back Doug Swinhart for Tech Talk today. Doug's been off for a while dealing with some health issues, and it's good to have Doug on the air. And here's the deal. If you want to talk to Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text the program. And our number is 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug, we've stayed in touch. It's good to visit with you again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Steve. You know, after 18 days in the hospital, that's a long stay. But I got to say one thing. Anybody that visits Regents Hospital will be pleasantly surprised. The care that place gives is just absolutely phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about it. And I'm really glad that's where I went. So I would recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, you know, and Doug, we're glad you're on the comeback trail. And I know a lot of people were concerned about you. And we want to recommend that if we're not on the air on a Saturday due to a game, etc., you can always check out our podcast at WCCORadio.com. Look up Tech Talk, and there's a lot of great information and a lot of evergreen information. So if we're not on the air due to a Twins game, etc., you can always check out the podcast. But, Doug, it's always good to visit with you. And a couple of things I wanted to get into, and this is, you know, certainly pent up, but I got into this with someone, and we were talking about, you know, original equipment versus, you know, something else when it comes to batteries, etc., for computers. I've always felt more comfortable buying original equipment, you know, a battery, etc. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that. If you need a new battery for your laptop or something else related to it, are you a big fan of original equipment? Say, for instance, a power supply.
Generally, something like that, I just go after the specs. And here's the thing, especially with, like, laptop batteries, especially laptop and netbooks, you'll see the original being sold at Dell or HP or wherever. And you can buy the identical product that's marked OEM. Just got to check the specs. If the specs are identical and they're even labeled the same, you can almost be guaranteed you're getting a factory piece for a fraction of the cost. And now that's actually changing now. These manufacturers, they don't want to lose business because people feel they're gouging them on parts. So the price of parts have been going down over the last few years. Thank goodness. But batteries especially. We are in an era where battery life is going to take a complete 180-degree turn. Yeah, you're going to have batteries that charge in an hour to an hour and a half and run for 4 days. I love that. I just love it. So it's just keep an eye on batteries. If you're a YouTube watcher or anything like that, they are coming out with phenomenal technology.
What about the AC power supply for a laptop? If you need an extra one, say you want to leave one at work and you want to have one at home or have an extra to keep in your bag, etc., what about those power supplies? Because with certain other electronic equipment over the years, play-by-play stuff, etc., I've picked up power supplies and it's kind of like, where did this come from? And I'm not sure about it. What about original equipment on that kind of stuff?
You know, that's interesting, because even the batteries and the power supplies, there's certain manufacturers that for a while they were putting microchips inside of them to make sure that you were buying factory. That's kind of gone by the wayside also. These AC adapters, again, check the specs. They have to be absolutely identical,
right,
or better. Like my Apple Watch now. I got a new iPhone and a new a Series 9 Apple Watch. And I never used either one of the chargers that came with them. I bought another unit where they charge together, and it actually is a much faster charge, and it was within the tech specs that Apple gave for what you would need to upgrade your charger. So it's getting better. It's not as good as I would like to see it, especially with all the different variances and plugs and that kind of thing. So it can be intimidating. It really can. And if you don't have a lot of time and you got a lot of money, I'd say, hey, buy factory. But if you got a little more time to do some research and you want to save some money, do the research and save the buck. Whenever you buy from an OEM, make sure you're buying from a reputable OEM. New Jersey is putting out wonderful parts, and California as well. There are places there that I've been doing business with for years. I would trust them as much, if not better, more than a factory. So, and some of them are actually the warehouses for the factory themselves. So you can score pretty good parts and save a bunch of money if you just shop a little bit and make sure you're coordinating the specs. That's the biggest thing of all.
Yeah, you don't want the wrong power supply or the wrong battery. That is a bad deal. By the way, we're underway on Tech Talk, and if you want to reach Doug today on the program, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, and let's go to the text line. This is a good one. I like the windows in Windows Explorer to always open to a maximized size. The instructions on the Microsoft website are very long and complicated, and they only work for about a day. And then it goes back to opening windows in a smaller size again. What can I do about this?
This is actually, I think, a bug in the new Windows. It used to be, no matter what size you left your browser when you closed it, that's where it would open the next time, even if you rebooted your machine. But the new Windows, I've noticed this, it's going back to like a standard. It's taking it back, especially if you want to run stuff full screen. I don't know if there's an actual fix for this at this point. I know that they've talked about it an awful lot with Windows 12. I think it's going to be addressed heavily in that version, which is expected to come out sometime early to mid-fall. And I'm looking forward to 12. 11 didn't impress me much. It runs fairly well. It's fairly stable, but there's so many things missing that I took for granted in past versions that I'm just not comfortable with it. 12 is supposed to be putting all those back, and, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But that particular issue, and that bugs a lot of people.
Even people
who have it windowed, you know, they may open up their desk, and if they should be able to go back to in that window, whatever program, whether it's Windows Explorer or browser or whatever, it should go right back to the same spot that it was, sized exactly the same as it was. The computer's been doing this for years. I don't know how they lost it. I really don't.
Yeah, and Doug, that is super frustrating. I know in dealing with my mom and dad or my wife and my mother and father-in-law on some of their issues, they get used to things being a certain way, and then maybe there's an update. Or one of the grandchildren go in there and play around. And that can be extremely frustrating. It's like, where's my stuff? It doesn't look the same. That used to be a gigantic problem in Outlook. If you mistakenly hit something and it's like, what did I do? This isn't how my email used to look anymore. And I know, you know, you can play around and usually get those settings back. But I would think for certain older users or less experienced users, it can be extremely frustrating not to know why it doesn't look the way it used to anymore.
Oh, I couldn't say it any better myself. And this is human nature, regardless of age. But I think you're correct in assuming that, you know, especially seniors and people our age, we don't like change. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just leave it alone. But we're seeing that a lot. And Updates can have an incredible effect on your overall graphical user interface with Windows, more so than a Mac or Linux. And I'm not sure why that is. I wish they'd just tone it down just a little bit and leave a little bit more in control for the user or the owner of the computer. I agree with that. And that's really kind of what made Chromebooks bring their claim to fame, is they just stay the same wherever you put them, which is a good thing. And Linux does that a good job in that as well. I don't know where Microsoft lost that. I really don't. And I think it's a much bigger issue than I think they're actually addressing at this point. Many people are complaining about this, that's for sure.
Here's a good one before we break, and this should be a quick one. I forgot the password to my old iPad. Is there an easy or cheap way to get back into this iPad?
Just run a search in Google and just say need to reset password. It'll actually give you instructions on how to get into what's called root mode, and you'll put it into, it's like a safe mode for Windows.
Sure.
And you can actually change the password on an iPad or an iMac or a Pro Mac book for that matter. The new operating system, I don't know if it's going to be quite this easy, but if they've got OS 10, they should have no problem whatsoever. None whatsoever.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We have much more. Doug's on board, back from a health scare and feeling better. That is certainly good news. And by the way, our phone number on the program is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. It is, of course, our WCCO Talk and text line. And it is Tech Talk here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Tech Talk continues. Doug Swindahart is joining us today. And if you have something for Doug on your computer, hardware, software, whatever, 651-461-9226. And let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in Dan. Dan, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Doug, I'm a 61-year-old man. I'm on the verge of retirement. I've never had a computer at home. I don't even have internet, but I have to get up and running fairly quickly here to make a Social Security account, blah, blah, blah. Is there someone out there or just general? It's confusing.
Why don't you give me a call early next week and I'll just get something put together for you? But you want to find out about your internet access and your address as soon as possible. Check with CenturyLink and Xfinity and get as fast as you can afford. And this is not a luxury. The internet, especially with what you got going on, these accounts, when you set these up online, everything just works smooth. It's just click, 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 like snapping your fingers and done. And setting it up so your Social Security goes directly into your bank, and if you change bank accounts, that kind of thing, you definitely want to get online and get really, really good with this. And security is going to be somewhat of an issue, but I'll help you out. You don't have to spend big money to get this done, not at all. And we'll have my number at the end of the show, and we'll get together, and I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, and that is, once again, depending on where you live, there are a lot of options. Let's start there. You brought up Xfinity and CenturyLink. They're the biggies. There are other providers in the metro area. Some municipalities offer internet service as well. Mm-hmm. Check into that depending on where you live. And then I continue to hear good things about T-Mobile service. That is the cellular-based service where you get something about the size of a coffee maker, and they set it up in your house, and it brings in cellular signals and then converts that into Wi-Fi. And you can also hardwire into those appliances as well. I have heard good things about T-Mobile. So there are a lot of options out there. But, Doug, I couldn't agree more. As fast as you can afford is going to pay dividends.
Oh, it's not a luxury anymore. It really isn't. And we're all struggling for the speed at this point. So even with a gigabyte, there are times where I'm waiting for a page to load. And that has to do with the amount of traffic that's on the internet. And the backbones, regardless of what anybody thinks, they're loaded. They're not overloaded, but they're all keeping it together somehow. But there's a lot of traffic on the internet. There truly is. So you want a good, fast internet so you at least can keep up. That best thing that you can get. And after that, you know, hardware is getting right downright dirt cheap. And you can buy a little desktop now, 4-inch by 4-inch by 2-inch high, little, but it's a powerhouse. It's got more power than a lot of servers did 10 years ago. So, yeah, the equipment is there. And it's just a question of putting it together so it's right for them and it's affordable and get it set up. Won't take long at all. And thank you for the call. I appreciate that, Dan.
Yeah, and that is a good one. And it sounds like Dan's a great candidate for something like a Chromebook to do this stuff.
Might be. Absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, that is also very affordable. So Dan should be able to do some computing at home, take care of the Social Security and banking stuff, et cetera. Are relatively affordable. And by the way, Doug's right. We'll have his phone number and email at the end of the program. Now let's go to Lawrence in St. Paul. Lawrence, you're on the air with Doug. Hello.
Well, it's nice to have my Saturdays back to some form of stability. I've got my iMac and my MacBook Air relatively new. Both of them are relatively new. Set up kind of the way I want. So I finally moved my files to the cloud. And I'm backing up Time Machine to the MacBook Air, because that's where my primary documents are. I'd like to have those documents on my iMac as another backup or another Time Machine. Is there a way that you can think of that I can do that automatically?
Yeah, I think what you got going on, it sounds to me like you have two separate accounts. And I would suggest instead of Time Machine, you just use iCloud. I would recommend that you call Apple and you get those two accounts, so it's one account, and then your two computers will synchronize automatic if you want them to. So whatever you delete off one will be deleted off the other. Whatever you add to one will be added to the other. Plus you'll have the files being saved up in iCloud as well, so you actually have three full copies without doing anything. And it would still behoove you, I think, to have an external hard drive and the fastest machine just do a full copy of your documents and your movies and your pictures and anything that's important, just to make absolutely certain you've got a fourth. The two, especially when they're synchronized, if something goes wrong, it's going to go wrong on both, but Apple will straighten that right out for you. I can almost guarantee you got two separate accounts. And that happens a lot with Apple, because you're setting it up and they just kind of guide you in like you're a new user. But you want it on one account. Doesn't matter which one, but one account. That way you have iCloud and buy the extra storage. It's a good deal. It's not that expensive. And you'll be a happy guy. No doubt about it.
And do we want to squeeze in one more call before the bottom of the hour? Tim and Blaine, you're on Tech Talk. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Tim.
I had a deal from Facebook saying that somebody was trying to hack my Facebook, and Facebook locked me out. How can I get my account reopened on Facebook? Do you know?
You know, that's really interesting, because that's happening more frequently than people realize. Personally, I think if your Facebook account has been hacked, that's internal. I'd call them up and I'd ask them, are you taking good care of your employees? Because something's wrong. You're supposed to be keeping my stuff safe. How did it get hacked? What exactly happened? I think sometimes that they don't keep track of people's credentials. They have so many people doing backups and doing maintenance, and one hand doesn't always know what the other hand is doing. And that's a common thing, I think, with these large corporations. They're much better than they were years ago, but it still goes on. And let's face it, they're all being operated and run by humans. And we humans, well, we're prone to errors. I mean, really, it's that simple. But I think that Facebook needs to either lighten up a little bit better or do a better job allowing people to get back their data. I'd give them a call. I really would. And you can also go to a place called Trustpilot, and you can put in a complaint about this. And there's also a website, Get a Human Voice, and I'll give you the website for that as soon as I find it. But it's
We can do that during the break. But here's the thing. With all of these social media sites, people need to keep in mind one thing. They're like any other business, and their first job is to make money. Now, you may think it's something else, but they're using you and your information and the content you create, whether that's photos or posts or writings or any other stuff you put out there, they are businesses there to make money. And your personal info, just be aware of that going into those arrangements with any of these social media companies. Now, that's my opinion, and I don't know how you feel about it, Doug, but first and foremost, they're there to make money.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
And you know, people really do need to realize that you're not their customer. You're their product.
Yeah,
any way you cut it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's
Yeah, and I was just going to say, it's different if you've hired someone to back up and protect your data, that you're their customer. You're giving them your money. But on these social media sites and the free Facebook account, or you know, you're on Twitter, or you're on Instagram, or you're on Threads, or any of these other platforms, you're the product. Remember that. You're the product, and they're there to make money. Keep that in mind.
And they will spell this out real clearly in their agreements. They're, you know, the 700-page agreements we've got time to read.
Yeah,
but it's there. I mean, you've agreed to this. And they take no responsibility for your data whatsoever. I don't think it's fair. I think that it's it needs some improvement. They gotta take better care of their product.
And I think if Congress would actually do their job, They would do this more. But once again, these are big businesses making billions and billions of profits, and they have tons of lobbyists in every state capital in the country, and certainly in Washington, D.C. So just be aware with any of these social media platforms. I'm not sure they always have your best interests in mind. 3:32.
Oh, absolutely.
Quick break. We'll come back. One footnote from the T-Mobile. T-Mobile is only an option in the metro area, not readily available outstate. Good point. There are things like Starlink, but there's a big downstroke for hardware. Doug and I have talked about Elon Musk's venture, satellite internet. You know, you're going to spend money up front, and it is more expensive, but that is another option if you live outside the metro area.
Yeah, outstate, I would say Verizon is probably going to be the big player.
Yeah, and depending on what town you live in, some of the smaller towns have municipal internet services available as well. 3:33, quick break, we'll have the weather. More Tech Talk with Doug. Here's the number, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug Swinehart is back today. We're glad to have him back here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinehart is back today. We're glad to have him. And by the way, you can find all our podcasts at the website, WCCORadio.com. And we invite you to check that out if you missed part of the show or want to pass the information along to a friend. We'd certainly appreciate it. Once again, check out the podcast at WCCRadio.com. And Doug, you were talking about tech support and getting a hold of Facebook. First thing I would say there is good luck. But beyond that, certain other sites, if you're giving them money, support is hit and miss. But there are resources where you can actually talk to a live body. And that's really interesting. You know, searching out through various sources how to get someone who actually might be able to help.
You know, I stumbled across the website a number of years ago. I think it's been quite a while now. It's gethuman.com, G-E-T-H-U-M-A-N.com. And this site, the entire purpose of this site is if you're having trouble getting a hold of customer service. And these large businesses do watch these sites, and they respond. Like, this GetHuman is so efficient that you can go ahead and you can enter your information in this, and they will start to call every 15 minutes to the online support staff to let them know that you've waited too long. And you can put your purpose on there, what it is, and they will publish that to the world forever. And you'd be surprised how many times the same company is having the same issues with customer after customer after customer, but yet they're telling the customer, no, it's just your side, it's just you. And GetHuman.com, truly, truly a unique site, and it's very customer-oriented. I'd recommend that to anybody. Get a rep on the phone faster and get better help. That's their motto, and they stick right to it. And it's clean, and it's easy to work with, and the big companies that they get a hold of, it's Microsoft, Google, Comcast, Xfinity, you name it. Bank of America, yeah, they're just T-Mobile, all of these. You know, and these companies, I think, really have their customer service backwards. Customer service positions should be the cream of the crop employee position. You got to work at the place for 10 years and know your stuff before you can even get into customer service. Just look at what that would save them in the end in time and expense. You got a 10-year employee, they're going to solve that problem in a quarter of the time, maybe even less than that. And instead, well, nobody wants to do it, so we'll give it to the new guy. We'll ship it to India. We'll ship it to the Philippines. And that's wonderful if they're trained. Very rarely are they trained. It's here's your book. Just do it step by step, and people catch on to that real fast. And it just adds more frustration. You might not have even been angry when you started the call, but you will be after you've been on hold for an hour, and then you get somebody that you got to actually train. That's terrible, terrible. And it needs to change. I wish they'd take a different look at who is doing the customer service and what customer service is really worth. Yeah. I think they'd be surprised.
Yeah, and I also think it gets down to, you know, before you get involved in a product or service, finding out about the customer service slash support that comes with it after the fact. I think that's part of the decision. Sometimes we get so locked into price, where maybe the decision should be, okay, it's going to cost this up front, but if I have a problem, yeah. And that gets back to something you've said for years on the program, and I think it's so true when it comes to computers or internet service or any of the other things that you put on your machine, and that is, what is your time worth?
And, oh, absolutely.
And
you couldn't have said it better.
Yeah.
You couldn't have said it better. And here's the thing, too. Always keep in mind that, you know, that it's good to be a good customer, but there is such a thing as righteous anger. Doesn't mean I want you calling them up and hollering and screaming. You're going to get a lot more done if you say, I got a problem, can you help me? Always. At the same time, I really think that some of these companies have just really lost sight of how important customer service really is. And I think that it should be a cream of the crop job, the highest pay that you get. You got to fight to get into customer service. You got to be there 10 years or more before they even consider you. Got to be a top shelf employee, and you get more time off and you get paid better. And the whole night, it would just be so much different. And in a perfect world, right, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. It is the WCCO Talk and Text Line. Doug is back today on Tech Talk. So glad he's joining us. And still plenty of time. If you have a question for Doug, by all means, call or text the studio here at News Talk 830-WCCO. Let's jump back to our text line. Windows 10 has some issues. Font and text are huge and blurry. Windows updates are current. Have tried several fixes to no avail. It is driving me nuts. What could be going on?
Oh, that's really strange. Didn't we have any problem with fonts in 10? Would go under the fonts and see if you could add and change them there. Possibly, it could have something to do, too, with the wrong settings with your resolution on your monitor and your refresh rate. But generally, if that's off, you're going to end up with a black monitor, black display. So, yeah, this is – something's corrupt there.
Wow.
This could be pretty lengthy on this one, but it shouldn't – that's a first. I haven't heard that about Windows in years.
Yeah, and by the way, we'll have Doug's phone number and email if you want to reach out to Doug and play around with that. But that is pretty unusual because things are so plug-and-play right now. It's almost eerie that a computer can be up and you plug in something new, USB. For instance, I was at that hockey game last night, and we had a little video switcher. And in the setup and the test run, we had logged on to the computer, et cetera, but we didn't plug in the video switcher.
Oh.
And we just plugged that in after the fact, and it popped right up. The point being is that USB in the current technology, it is amazing how quickly a computer can train up. Even if you're plugging in a printer that is unfamiliar, it is extraordinary. If you just hardwire that into a Chromebook or a laptop or a Mac, boom, you're good to go. You don't even really have to fool around with configuring. It just finds it, and it's ready to roll.
No doubt. They've come a long way with plug-and-play, for sure. It's to the point now to where everybody dreamt that it was going to be within a year or two. And it took some time, but I couldn't agree more. You plug in a new device, and almost always it'll pop out on the internet, get new software, install it, and just walk you right through it, and in minutes you're done. Printers can be a little bit more expensive for software, cause scanners and all that, faxing, but even those, it's almost idiot-proof. It's just amazing how far they've come.
Yeah, thing about printers, and we'll get to this after the break, and this is something I've definitely found with the printer. We have a printer in the house that doesn't get used that much, and we had a lot of problems. And trying to remember to every now and then just send something to that printer and print it out for the sake of giving it a little exercise and keep the ink moving has really paid dividends. It's kind of funny how that works. It's kind of like we don't use it a lot, but when we do need it, if the other printer is out of ink, we'll use this one. It's kind of the backup. And then it's kind of like, oh, it's not working, and we got to run this long protocol to get it to print again. Now it's just like, hey, let's try and remember to just print to this occasionally and use this thing. And printers, if they sit too long, can be a problem.
Oh, especially bubble jets and ink jets.
Yeah, for sure.
That, you know, because they'll dry in the heads, and you know, at least a couple of times a month, send a page or two. It won't hurt a bit, and it will save you. Oh, I can't put a dollar value on people's frustration. That's a big thing. But over and above that, printers, if they lay idle, they'll go to sleep. And if you don't have the IP address locked in, which, again, I don't think is a big problem anymore. They seem to just do it at both the modems or the routers or whoever is doing the IP addressing on the network. It locks that in for that device. But it used to be that it would release that IP address. Somebody come along and log on to the network, and they'd get that IP. Then when your printer started up, well, it wouldn't recognize anything on the network. It was like you had to reconfigure the whole thing. But that days passed for that even. That's days long gone.
Quick break. We'll come back. Tech Talk resumes in a moment. Doug Swinhart is in. Still time if you want to reach us on the talk and text line. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Why do you need Prevazor? We'll get Doug's short answer in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart is back today. Great to have Doug back this first Saturday in March. And, of course, sports schedules permitting. Tech Talk Saturdays between 3 and 4 o'clock here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring in Craig. Craig, you're on the air.
Hi. First-time listener. I had a question. I've got a Microsoft Windows question. I used to be able to print screen by hitting, and I can't remember if it was the Control or the Alt button, and then print screen, and it would print exactly what was on my monitor screen. And then there was an update recently, and that seems to have gone away. And I'm assuming there's some setting that I need to find or change, and I haven't been able to find it any place.
If you are in an application or a program that has access to your actual print setup, your printing, Control-P will print whatever's inside that window. That stayed the same. Now, I think what's happening with Microsoft is they are redeveloping their snipping tool. And you just go to Google and put in Windows and your version of Windows 10, and preferably if you can get the build, and then just put in space, plus, and how do I print screen on anything? And I'm pretty sure you're going to get instructions on the new snipping tool. It's actually in memory all the time. And there's a series of keys, and I think it's Control, Alt, and P, or Control, Alt, and S for snipping, but it'll actually pop down a small little bar on the top of your window, and you can print the whole screen right on for a monitor or take sections, and it's a wonderful little thing. And snipping tool's been around a long time, and a lot of people didn't use it until, well, just recently. And 10 and 11 and 12 are expanding on that snipping tool. It's a wonderful, wonderful tool, and it comes with Microsoft. It's one of the services they do provide that I think is just wonderful. Check out the snipping tool, and I think you'll solve your problem. Some of these keys have been remarked, and I disagree with Microsoft's philosophy of remapping keys. That's just bad juju, any way you cut it. Yeah, there's just not a good thing, and they're doing it more and more with keyboards. I don't like to see that. It's not good. Not good at all. Not good for anybody.
That seems like a nightmare to me. Doug, before we run out of time, a couple of quick things we want to get to from our text line. Is there something that, or are there printers available with Bluetooth? Short answer is yes, they're available everywhere. You don't need a Wi-Fi network. With your phone, you get a little Bluetooth printer, and you can print from your phone to that.
A lot of them. Yep. Almost all of them, I think. If it's wireless, it's probably Bluetooth as well.
Yeah, so you wouldn't need Wi-Fi, or you wouldn't need internet in the house. I mean, as long as you have power and the Bluetooth printer is enabled and your Bluetooth on your phone is enabled, you can print from your phone to that little printer. And they are available everywhere, Target, Best Buy, wherever you buy stuff. You can pick one of those up. I wanted to get into Prevazor. We always get a ton of texts and calls about it. Real quick before the end of the program, why should Windows people have Prevazor?
Well, I'm just going to tell these people to go to Prevazor.com, and on the front page, they just page down a little bit, and it says secure cleanup with one click. That says view details. Next to that says in-depth cleanup, view details. And the last one, and I think might be the most important, privacy protection. What a lot of people don't realize is when we write a file, even after we delete it, there's remnants of that file that can be read from the grooves that were created on the drive. Norton Unerase and Norton Undelete came out in the 80s. So this technology is nothing new and taking up space with all these extra things. But they not only take care of your temp files and the paging files, but they'll actually go through and do your indexing, which everything surrounds around indexing. Your computer has to index before it makes a move to run that program. So indexing, I think, is really overlooked in most of these operating systems, and Prevazor checks all that. Prevazor, every Windows user on the planet should be running Prevazor. And just read through that, and if you got questions, go to Google and say, what is a paging file? Where's my remnants? And it'll tell you. It's just a great program all the way around. You won't regret it at all.
Prevazer. All right, Doug, your phone number and email before you run out of time.
Thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin@wccotech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve. It's great to be back.
Doug, good to visit with you. I'm glad you're on the road to recovery. Thanks so much for the time today. Tech Talk, Doug Swinhart. Don't forget the podcast available at WCCRadio.com. Pass the word. Pass the word to your friends. We have the news. We have the weather in a moment.